If you'll turn with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're in this particular scripture during the grace series as it related to entering into the veil and beholding him in the spirit, beholding his glory. But there's another way to behold the Lord as well. And I want to talk to you about that today. Verse 18, because this mirror actually is twofold. It says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He's actually was differentiating that entire chapter, very powerful chapter if you go and meditate it. He was differentiating the operation of the law when you would go read the law under the law versus beholding the mirror of God's word or the mirror of his glory under the new covenant. Because two different things happen actually. Under the law, because you were spiritually dead, when you looked into the law, what it did is revealed your nature to you. And actually the Bible calls it a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, because it would actually reveal the fallen nature. So the more you came under it, the more you saw the wrong thing. And it was there to convince you that you needed a savior. So the more you were exercising it, the more you would see the old fallen man. But now everything changed. You got to know this part. See, when you're born again, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, says, as he is, so are we. Not as he was, said, as he is, so are we. Amen. Something different happens when you behold the living word, the mirror of God's word. Something happens to you that's different than what happened to them under the law. They were exercising the law and it revealed their fallen nature. This one reveals everything that you are in Christ. And when you come into this mirror and when you behold it, whether you're beholding his glory or beholding the mirror of God's word, it reflects its nature. It reflects its image. It reflects its glory. And you're changed into the same image from glory to glory. So it's your change in the same image so you can be conformed to the image of Christ. In this mirror that you go before, it reflects two different places. One reflects his glory out of the right hand of God. The other one reflects his glory out of the living word of God. Not the knowledge of the word, the living word. The knowledge of the word will only reflect knowledge into your mind, but the revelation of his word, the rhema of his word, the intensity of the life in his word will reflect his glory. He changed into the same image from glory to glory. That's why you have to learn to meditate from your spirit, not your mind. Your mind, you'll get knowledge. Your spirit, you'll get impartation. That's what Paul said in the book of Ephesians. He prayed for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. And as he would come into that, and as he would give himself to that image would be imparted. Amen? Now, okay, what I'm going to teach you about today was the fact that I saw that the apostles had an extraordinary opportunity to walk with the Lord for 3.5 years under what I would consider a 100-fold mantle. Every single day, their belief system wasn't like our belief system. It was exposed to something you might see once or twice in a lifetime. They were seeing it every day. In fact, when John sent his disciples, if you remember that, when John sent the disciples, he said they came upon him in that random hour. And when they came upon him in that random hour, say random hour, they said, are you the one to come or we look another? And they said, no. He said, you go telling John what you do see and hear right now. This hour you've come upon me. The blind see. The deaf hear. The lame and the maimed are made whole and the dead are being raised. How'd you like to live in that? 3.5 years, 24 hours a day. I mean, always crowd control because of the miracles and the power. If they could touch him, the glory of God would come up out of him. That's powerful. They were prepared in their belief system. You know when they're in training? they would struggle just like you and I. You remember when the Lord sent them out? He sent out the 12, and then right after that, he sent out the 70, and they came back. This is Matthew chapter 10. They come back rejoicing. Said, hey, the devils are subject to us. They're getting healed. It's working. It's happening. For those of you who've never had that kind of anointing, when that anointing flows, it's awesome. It's awesome to see people set free. It's probably one of the greatest treasures in the entire world is to watch someone get set free and delivered right there on the spot. To pray and it happened right there. And for you to go, wow, it happened. It happened. Something happened and now I know. It's awesome. They came back rejoicing. But they were operating under his mantle because they were still in training. The difference operating in someone else's mantle than your own. Because you remember right after that, that was Matthew 10, Matthew 17. Go to that. I'll show you that one. Verse 14. It says in verse 14, when they were come to the multitude, they came to him, a certain man kneeling down to him saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic. I'm telling you right now, this level of humanity is going to get set free. This is the mark. It's the compass. It's what the church should be after with our whole heart, to see this level of humanity set free and delivered. Imagine if the Lord wasn't there. This boy wouldn't have got free. Watch what happens here. Sore vexed, oftentimes he falleth into the fire, often into the water. I brought him to thy church, and they could not cure him. I could just imagine the church's excuses for this little boy. Well, he didn't have enough faith. He was born demon possessed. Well, it wasn't God's time. You could imagine the disciples, Lord, we prayed for him, but nothing happened. I guess it wasn't your time. We'll wait on you. We'll wait for you, God, when you get ready to do it. God works on his timetable and on his clock. When he gets ready to do it, he'll do it. That's all the stuff, because it can't be our fault. You know what I'm saying? After all, we have his word. We have the name of Jesus. It can't be our fault. And so, nothing happens. The Lord comes right up in the old faithless generation. Come out! And he gets set free right there. Disciples are looking around. There's 12 of them. None of them could get that out. Say none. But in Matthew 10, seven chapters earlier, they are flowing in it. Because they're under his mantle. He put his mantle on them. It's sure easy to operate like that. Because he was giving them a taste of what they're going to operate in. But they're in training. Now they go back to their mantle. That's what he said. He goes, how long am I going to do this for you? He expected them to do it. Rebuke them. He expects us to do it. He expects these kind of results from us. Amen. We have to get after it. If you lay hands on somebody and it doesn't work, go lay hands on them again. If you want that kind, you might have to look into a different mirror. And they pulled him aside. He goes, psst, come here. Notice they didn't ask the question publicly. Pulled him aside. Come here, Lord. Psst, come here. Secret huddle up. Let's have a huddle. It must have been Peter that asked the question. I'm sure it was Peter. Because Peter always. But thank God, since he asked the question, we don't have to. We can just get in on the answer. Amen? Why could not we cast that out? Why couldn't we do that? We tried. And here's his answer. Because of your unbelief. But this kind, Now, a lot of times people think it's that kind of spirit cometh out by prayer and fasting. Actually, he's talking about unbelief, because that's a whole realm right there. There's rarely untouched by the church, even when they're fasting and praying. I think he was talking about the unbelief. This kind of unbelief cometh not out. It's not purged out without prayer and fasting. It's the subtle kind. It's not the kind where you hear the message in the name of Jesus, you'll cast out devils, you'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. You've been through the schools of healing and the schools of evangelism, and you've gone out and laid hands on people. Do you know I can go down to Mexico, down in the jungle? I've had this happen. My anointing, it triples. Triples. It does. You go down in the mission fields and those dark places, you're amazed what your anointing can do. I know pastors have taken sick people with them down in the Mexico so they can get them healed down there. Because the anointing's flowing down there. Jesus couldn't do mighty works in Nazareth because of what? There was a corporate veil of unbelief over the city. That one came from familiarity. He grew up with them. They did not see his office. They saw his humanity. Couldn't get over it. And he had to move all his headquarters and operations to Capernaum. And that's when it hit. Pow, 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 pow. You have to have an atmosphere that's conducive for the operation of the Holy Ghost. There has to be an atmosphere inside you that's conducive for that. There has to be a belief system. So we see when he sent them out, they could operate under his anointing. When they were by themselves, they were still in their anointing. But we know they got it. Because Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5, when it hit, Peter got the glory on him. He learned how to do it. Do not allow failure to stop you. Just because it doesn't happen, don't stop. We're not stopping. It's because you pray for 5 and it doesn't happen. Chuck said something very remarkable to me one night. Because after every one of these healing services, something happens. I'm telling you, I'm going to just not, don't talk to me. After Thursday night, because something major explodes and something happens. Every one of them in the last four Thursday nights. Yeah, amen. We're going to break that in Jesus' name. Or I'm not going to answer the phone. But he said something. He goes, listen. Because I was focusing on the stuff, you know, because we're learning. He goes, don't focus on what didn't happen. Focus on what happened. Because there were people set free. There were people delivered. There were legitimate miracles, and there are legitimate healings. Amen? But we want more. How do you get more? We want higher levels, more power to do good. You know, the Lord obviously left this with us because the Bible says he was anointed with the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 10. Going about doing good, destroying all the works of the enemy. Man, I would have done anything to walk with him like that for 3.5 years. To watch that, to see it, to live in it. If he told me not to follow him, I'd follow him anyway. I've been on his heels. If I wasn't marked with the 12, I'd be among the 70. I'd be carrying somebody's coat around. Just to be around that kind of anointing. You got to be hungry like that. If you're not hungry like that, you're not going to get it. You can't. The things of God, you got to be hungry. There's a price to pay for them. There's an ongoing price to carry it. It's just the way it is. You got to want it. You got to desire it. But it'll hook you. I tell you what, it'll hook you. The anointing God will come through you. You'll be hooked forever. It's an awesome thing to be employed by God. To be used like that. And the anointing, it's a humbling, but it's an awesome thing. It's a wonderful thing. But then the Lord says, it's expedient for you that I go away. He tells his disciples, they go, what, you're leaving? We're just getting started. He goes, yeah, if I go away, the Comforter is going to come upon you. We said goodbye to another dear saint this week. Dear lady. I mean, she's in a place of glory, and that's awesome. But you know what? I know this for a fact. If the Lord was administrating his anointing right now in the city of Houston, Texas, and we got her in front of him, she'd still be here laboring, healed. Say healed. This is the thing we have to reconcile with. How expedient is it for you to have gone away? Because if you were here, it would still be happening. It's truth. So he obviously intended for this, for us to come to the place where we operate like this. Amen? I'm thankful for everything we're operating in. I'm thankful for the door's been open. Man, you open a door and we're just going through it, I'm telling you. But I want to see it now to increase in a body, in a habitation, and to prepare him a habitation. He said, make my house a house of healing. That's not the only thing. This is a center for salvation, deliverance, healing, discipleship, benevolence, intercession. It's not just one. There's many things. It's okay to flow into a river. We're not leaving our foundation. You see his teaching today? Yes. We're going to continue, but we want things to grow and develop. So how do we get more? Well, if he said unbelief was the problem, then how do we deal with a subtle kind of unbelief? Not the knowledge that, hey, I know the Lord heals. I lay my hands on him and go away. You'll recover one day. No, the unbelief that when you lay hands, nothing happens. Something's there that's stopping that because the Lord lays his hands on him. Something happens. When someone with a greater anointing, you walks in, you lay hands on them, nothing happens, they lay hands on them, and bam! Reminds me when I was in Bible school. With Norval Hayes. We knew everything back then there was to know about God. I mean, it's everything. I was 6 months old in the Lord. I was like a teenager. I knew everything. I'm like, just give me a devil to cast out. He did. Sent two of them one night. In there, we were in a motel where all the Bible school students stayed, and these two guys, they were demon-possessed, come up in there. People don't like when you talk about demons. You got to get over that. I was trying to get that devil out of that. Boy, we started, well, we're going to just cast this out. You know, we're Bible school students. We should be up there in the pulpit. You know, that kind of thing. Man, we started like 8 o'clock that night. 4 in the morning, we're still at it. Hoarse, lost our voice, yelling, screaming, I shouted the name! We'd ask, it's his name, everything we knew to do, you know, what's your name? I mean, Jesus said, what's your name? We did it. What's your name? Did all that kind of thing. Nothing happened. We were so worn out. We finally had to excuse ourselves and say, you don't want to be delivered. If you want to be delivered, you would have got delivered. We went to bed, had to wake right back up at 7 o'clock for service, and Norval Hayes himself was doing the 8 o'clock service. He gets in there. The first thing they do is bring those two demon-possessed boys right up in front of him. And I'm like, yeah, let's see what you got today. Looked straight at him and said, I come out in the name of Jesus. Both of them started flopping on the floor. They were set free immediately. Everybody was rejoicing except me. I was not happy about that. Why could I not test it out? How could he do that so easy? I said the same thing he said. I have the same knowledge. He just has a different anointing. That's the issue. That subtle barrier has to break. How do you break the subtle barrier? How do you break into what the church is not operating in as a whole? Or you get satisfied with everybody's walking in, or you break the barrier. You go after it. You go after the ceiling. How do we make this ceiling look like that ceiling? How do we operate all our life here and then break into an open heaven here? How do we get through that? And they came up in front of the Lord and asked him, what must we do to work the works of God? They were hungry. They saw him multiply the bread. They want to know how you do that. How do you multiply bread? I mean, businessmen would probably like to know how you do that. Bread was a commodity back then. Fish and bread. Fish was a mainstay commodity. It was part of their financial infrastructure in those days. And he multiplied it. And they went, how did you do that? They said, what must we do to work the works of God? It's in John 7. He goes, this is the work of God that you believe. Say, believe. Could you give a little more explanation? What does that mean? All I can tell you is when you got it, you believe. Just know. When it happens, you know why it happened. And when you don't got it, you're still wondering why it happened. That's the subtle barrier. He pulled that paralytic down and they tore the room off. And he looked in front of him. He got him in front of the room. Jesus. And he said, which is easier? Say your sins are forgiven or to rise up and walk? Does God ever ask you that question? He asked me that question. What's easier for you? Lead somebody to be born again, have their sins forgiven, or to get a paralytic out of the wheelchair, or get them off that deathbed? I'm like, I can get somebody saved. He said, for me, it was the same. That's the barrier that he broke. The 4-minute mile, once it was broken, everybody was breaking it. Whenever a barrier is broken in any sport, everyone else comes and breaks it because a confidence surges within man to release. But this is a God kind of confidence that surges when you see it. That's what happens when they were exposed to it, exposed to it, exposed to it, exposed to it. It happened. By the time the Holy Ghost come upon Peter, he got it. He caught it. When he caught it, man, it started happening. What I have, I give to you. I've got it. It's on him. The anointing for it is on you. We got to get that. I said, Lord, how do we get that? There are some people. David Hogan has it down in the jungles. You want to go down to South America and if he'll let you. He doesn't like Americans down there very much. They have over 200 resurrections from the dead down there. Confronting witch doctors all the time. They're just powerful. He comes to America and he hears all our gospel, but you know, he comes from a world that he's doing it. Should hear some of his testimonies. They're crazy. Wow, what happens with them down there? But we want that in a first world nation. We want to put it right in front of the television. Amen? How do we get there? How do we increase? This is when the Lord spoke to me. He said, there is a mirror. Just like one walking with me. He said, if you'll expose yourself to it, it can impart the same kind of faith that it imparted to the disciples of walking with me. What did he say? Faith what? Cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word. I'm going to say it like this. Faith cometh by seeing, and seeing by the word. You know, you can see into the word. It's a living word. You know, I meditated so long when he first started telling me about the widow of Nain. She brought her dead son. I saw it happen. I was transported and I saw the crowds converge and the Lord touched the bar and lifted it. And man, the boy come out. I saw the whole thing. It was awesome. You can see like that. But it's seeing the kind of mirror. If you don't think the enemy's good, it's shifting the church away from what this gospel was supposed to look at. Look at the churches. Find churches that are operating power. They're out there, but they're hard to find. The first thing he does is take the power. If he can get the Holy Ghost out, he'd love that too. Get the Holy Ghost out. Get the power out. Then we can manage them. You have to fight for this kind of thing. You have to want it. That's what this church is about. We want something we can see. If you can't see it, you can't have it. We're a product of what we see by compass. We're a product of what we look into. What do you mean by that? Well, you take a church growth seminar. They're going to develop a compass for your church. They're going to teach you how to grow a church by natural programs. But they'll set a compass inside you and you'll move through that compass to build something for God. But it'll deny the power, but you'll build something and people will come. Meanwhile, the people who are suffering will still keep suffering because they don't really get set free. So what happens? You get a church full of people that already have it together. And the deliverance factors and the power factor is not there. But if you emerge yourself into this, I promise you, if you'll give time just meditating through it, you'll start seeing another gospel. You're seeing the reality that, hey, the works that I do, you will do also. And greater than these, because I go to the Father. It's expedient for you that I go away, because I'm going to give you what I have. I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. I'm going to give you the operation I have. You're going to operate like me. Now, ask your question. Go to Jude. Is it the will of God for us to operate like this? Works that I do, you do also, greater than these. These signs shall follow those who believe. My name they'll cast out devils, lay hands on the sick. When you make us a feast, call the poor, maimed, lame, and blind. What are you going to do? Call them to a feast? What are they going to eat? What does the poor, maimed, lame, and blind eat? If you make a feast and you call the poor, maimed, lame, and blind, what are they going to eat? Whatever is on that table. Blind eyes being opened, deaf ears being opened, maimed walk, lame being made whole, dead or raised. That's your table right there. Spread that table. He wouldn't tell you to spread a table like that in Luke 14. If he'd intend for you to serve that. Amen? We're cutting through a veil right now. Thy word is a hammer. It's breaking the rocks in pieces. Look at Jude 1. I love this. Verse 3. He says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend. Say, earnestly contend. That sounds like an action verb to me. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares before of old, ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turned the grace of our God unto lasciviousness, denying of the Lord. They turned the power of God that was once delivered in the early church. They turned the church away from it and went into a church of lasciviousness or unbridled lust. They turned the church to a self-serving church when he said, earnestly contend. You got to fight. You got to want it. We can be moldable, just give up and say, well, if anything goes, whatever you want to happen. That's how religion works. Mold you. Oppressive atmosphere. We have to be free. Amen. We got to set the people free. Earnestly contend for the faith. Yeah. Well, they lost it. Obviously. James chapter 1, verse 21. You want to look at this one really close. Amen. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Verse 22. Now, what I want you to do, take what you think this is about to mean and stick it on a shelf. All right, verse 22. But be you doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Whatever you think a doer of the word is, he's about to tell you what a doer is. Amen. Verse 23, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, so he's going to differentiate between what a hearer and a doer is, he's likened a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. Same mirror, by the way, of 2 Corinthians 3:18. He beholds himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continuing therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Say, a doer of the work. What did they say? What must we do to work the works of God? He's going to tell you right here how to perform the work of believing. He that entered his rest has ceased from what? His own labors. There are your own labors, and then there's God's labors. There is a labor here that can radically transform our belief system. He's about to tell you how to do it. And he actually called it being a doer of the word versus a hearer. Now let's look at the hearer real quick. Verse 23, if any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So here's this man. He goes in front of a mirror. He looks into the mirror. He sees his natural face and he walks away from him. He forgets what he looks like. And I'm thinking, surely you're not telling us to go look at our flesh in a mirror. Aren't we supposed to, okay, that's what I look like. That's not what I want to look like. Aren't we supposed to walk away from it? Right? Surely you're not going to be beholding all your mistakes and all your failures and all your life before Christ, your flesh. That's not how you change. You don't change by looking at your natural self. You change by looking into His glory. You change by looking into His mirror. You change by looking into this. This is the one you look into to change. This is the mark. This is the compass. You know, you can look into this under a veil of religion and not see it. People come here, I never saw that before. I've been going to church a long time. It's all what someone's teaching you. I'm going to say this. You might want to write this down. You're a product of the compass that's in you. If you don't like where you're at, change the compass. But if you think some person whose compass has been sealing is going to take you higher than them, it's not going to happen. You're going to be a product of the compass that's working in you. So what is this mirror we're looking into? He said, this natural man beholding in a mirror what manner of man he was, but he walks away. But the doer, say the doer, he goes back in front of the mirror and he stays in front of it, continues in front of it until he's changing what he sees. So I'm thinking, what was this natural man? Why would he even say that? I was meditating. This natural man in the mirror. What does that word natural mean? A natural man. And that's how I did in the old days. I just pray. I get them downloads now, but in those days I had to walk the floor and pray in tongues. Natural man in the mirror. He beholds himself, walks away. You're not telling me to look at my natural man. What are you talking about? So I go into the inner leaner, outer leaner, whoosh, weak, strong. So I go into everything. The Greek. And I found the natural man, you know what it meant? Nativity. Oh, well, that helped. So he looks at his nativity face in the mirror. I see my nativity face, and I'm going back and forth. I'm praying in tongues, and I walk away from my nativity face. That didn't help. So I'm going back and forth praying. I knew something was there. I'm going back and forth praying nativity, nativity, nativity. And the Holy Ghost is just screaming to get it over to me. I'm walking around praying in tongues, nativity. You know what I'm looking at? What do you think of a nativity? I'm looking at baby Jesus, manger scene. The whole time I'm praying, the Holy Ghost, it's there. Hello, nativity, nativity, baby Jesus, baby Jesus. I'm looking at baby Jesus. I'm like, what is baby Jesus nativity scene on Christmas? I can't even do. We're conforming to your image. You know, he's got to get it through. If you want to be a person of revelation, listen to people who understand revelation. You'll catch their anointing. You'll catch the way God works with them. You'll catch foundations that the Holy Ghost can speak through. Look, he doesn't have 20 years to get it over to you. Take somebody who already went the 20-year route. Learn what they know. Know what they know, and then you can be on page. You can learn what they know in 6 months. You got to dive in. I'm sitting there, and it hit. Nativity. Oh, nativity. Birth of Christ face. What happened to you when you were born again? Christ birthed into your spirit. What is the New Testament? The revelation of Christ in you. The hope of glory. He opens the word. He beholds his birth of Christ face in the mirror. That's who I am. The works that I can do, you will do also. Greater than these. I'm looking into the mirror of a hundredfold operation. And he says, what I do here, you will do. I showed it by the Paul, and then I look at it. Hold that up there. I'm looking at it. Ooh, that looks good. Walk away. I go, what else do I have out here? self-help seminars, church growth seminars. Then you get running all around the big, big circle of how to do things without Christ, without the power of God. And you go and you spend 20 years, you walked away from it. You walked away because he forgot what manner of man he was until God brings you back to look back in the mirror. This is I am. Then you find this scripture in John, little John, chapter 4, as he is. So am I. Not as he was, so am I. As he is. So every time I read it, the same Christ that cast out that devil is in me. As you are, so am I. As you are, so am I. As you are. And he says, the doer of the word. He stays in front of the mirror. And he continues, say continues, he continues looking into who he is, looking in, allowing the word to wash away the spot and wrinkle, to wash down the erroneous belief systems, to wash away religion, to wash away the veils, to wash away the veils, to wash away the veils. Spirit of God saying, I'm washing away the veils. I'm washing away the veils. I'm washing the veils. Until you emerge one day looking into the same Christ that those disciples walked with. This is who he is. I set this compass in my heart. I set this constitution in my heart. This is who I am. I will not leave this. I pray I live with it. I will not forsake it. I'm continuing there and I keep looking at it, keep looking at it, keep looking at it. All day, one day you're going to stand in front of the paraplegic. You've been looking into that mirror long enough. You're going to say, come out! I say, rise and be healed. They're going to come out and go, oh, ooh, yeah. Jesus heals them. But he did it through you. Well, I didn't heal him. I know you didn't heal him. Which one of us can do something like that? That's the nature of the impossible that God wants us to enter into. We can't do that. That's the glorious part of it. That's what the world's going to recognize. You can't do that. I know. Isn't it great? Isn't it great? It tells us there's a God alive. It demonstrates that there's a God alive. I don't have to convince you of anything. Just look at that right there. I'll tell you who did that. Now you got a choice to believe what's in your head or what you just saw. Your doctrine of unbelief or what you just saw. That's how the Muslim world's going to get converted right there. That's the only way the Muslim world's going to get converted. That's the gospel. 100-fold mirror. Now, that's the best church growth seminar I can give you. Church growth seminar. Give them a Bible. Give them a hold the mirror. Give them a constitution. Give them F.S. Bodworth, Christ the healer. Now go find it. When you emerge, you will have church growth galore. Because those kind of miracles, they would stampede the door to get in here. Say stampede. You wouldn't know what to do with the miracles. Neither would I. That's the God's Church Growth Seminar right there. Stay in front of the mirror. Continue in front of the mirror until you're changing the same image. But you got to know that he told you you can do it. The works that I do, you will do also and greater than these. If you cannot believe what I say to you, Jesus said that I am the Son, then believe these works because they testify of me. If the Father sent him to testify, then why would he send us to testify? If he sent him with power, why is he not going to send us with power? This is his way. It's what he did in Acts, and I'm telling you right now, before God, it's the way he's going to do it right here in Houston Revival Center. Do I look like I'm getting? We're going to have it. Because we refuse to build any other way. Let's give the Lord glory. Hallelujah.